Welcome back. It's episode 17 of the audio production show from Music Radio Creative. Normally, I'm your host, Kyron Mountain, but this week, Mike Russell, you know, the guy behind Music Radio Creative, is behind the mic, and he's talking to an amazing gentleman, the production manager of Adobe Audition, Duren Gleaves.
Hello, this is Mike Russell, and you're listening to the Music Radio Creative Podcast. On this episode, I am thrilled to be talking to the product manager of a piece of software I absolutely love and have loved for probably over a decade. I remember when it revolutionized my life working in radio. No longer was I scrabbling all over the floor trying to scoop up bits of tape that I'd cut and thrown out that I needed to get back in. But it made it so simple, the fact that I could just actually cut and paste and time stretch and do all these crazy effects too. So I can't wait to get started. It is, of course, Adobe Audition. Now, if you haven't heard of Adobe Audition, the offering as part of the Adobe Creative Cloud, it's a piece of software that allows you to record, edit, create audio content, and use their great tools like the waveform, the spectral display, the multi-track, and the world-class, of course, sound remover, noise reduction tools as well. It's also very well integrated with video, and I'll go into that during this podcast interview, and basically allows you to deliver fantastic audio quality. So I hope the quality of this podcast is good. Duren Gleaves, it's an honor to have you on the podcast.
I'm thrilled to be here, Mike. I've watched your videos and chatted with you for years, and it's just great to get a chance to talk to you.
It's absolutely awesome. So first of all, let's start off because I see more and more that Adobe Audition is integrating, becoming very nice friends or neighbors with Premiere Pro. So what's the deal with the video integration part of Adobe Audition?
Well, with Premiere having really had so much success and really just dominated the NLE industry the last several years, the Audition team has seen a lot of new interest from audio for video post users, especially in light of alternatives like Soundtrack Pro and Bias Peak and some of those applications going away. So we're really getting to explore new ways of working with audio for video. Our upcoming release offers a new feature, Dynamic Link Video Streaming, where you can send a sequence to Audition for mixing audio or recording ADR without ever rendering a reference video. So it just streams full native resolution, full frame rate from a headless version of Premiere running in the background right into the Adobe video panel. And that's one example where we're really able to leverage this tight integration and shared foundation between our applications to create features that just wouldn't be possible otherwise.
That's amazing. And I really like the fact that it is becoming so integrated like that, because I'm using more Premiere Pro now. So to actually be able to take audio and just quickly cut it and then go back to Premiere Pro and there it is and it's ready to go integrated with your video. And of course, you get all the excellent tools that Adobe Audition has for sound, which I remember before this integration started, it was pretty difficult to put audio effects on video inside Premiere Pro without being a super expert at Premiere Pro effects, right?
Yeah, just about. So it's really being able to allow our users to use the best tool for the job or the tool that they prefer, and just make sure that everything else eventually works as seamlessly and as integrated as we can make it.
That's brilliant. So talk to me a little bit about the presets and the special effects, because I think, Duren, this is what I fell in love with when I first tried it. Well, Cool Edit Pro, and then it became, of course, Adobe Audition. And, you know, getting into that effects menu and seeing all the special effects you have and the presets, I mean, this blew my mind. Working in radio, obviously, I'd used effects boxes, you know, where you can speak into a microphone and pitch shift your voice in real time. But when I found out you can do it in a piece of software, this was just mind-blowing for me. So who is it that comes up with these effects? And kind of tell us a little bit about your plans there, particularly the naming of those effects, like Crazy Clock of Doom and Hell's Chorus.
You know, almost all the...
What happens there?
All those stock presets that we ship with were really the result of two guys on the team, Dan and Matt. And they both have a great background in audio production. Both of them have...
Hence why there's a preset, Dan's Guitar.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Both of those guys have bands here in Seattle, and so they've relied on Audition for years. And I think they both had a little too much fun designing and naming those presets. I always worried that some of the names, because audition's available in so many languages, that some of those names aren't going to translate very well. But other ones I suspect are hopefully universal. Depressing Karaoke Bar, I think, is something most of us are familiar with.
Absolutely, and I think they're a great starting point for people working with audio. I mean, I work with a lot of podcast editors, but also in my line of business, we have a lot of audio producers working for Music Radio Creative, and they use all of these effects. And I love the fact that Audition, straight out of the box, just gives you effects and presets that you can use and tweak to your liking. So you don't have to be an audio expert straight away. You can play and you can see what things do. And I guess that's the idea. I mean, do you have any more plans to sort of enhance the offerings with regards to effects?
Well, we're always looking at new opportunities and new DSP. So, it's a balance between what new workflow features do we put in and what new effects that are people asking for, or what is something that maybe they're not asking for. A couple versions ago, we released a new effect called the Sound Remover, which is, yeah, it's just another noise reduction, but it's based on a new technology called source separation, and it was kind of our first trial of these algorithms, and it's for certain things it works better than anything else that's out there. So I think as we come up with those ideas, or our research team comes up with these projects and technologies, and we can find ways to make them usable and fun to use and good for the product and good for the user, then you'll see those show up.
Absolutely. I love the new Sound Remover tool, but I'd like to dig in now. I have the chance to sort of dig a little bit deeper on this. What is exactly the difference with the process on the Sound Remover tool as opposed to noise reduction? What exactly is going on there that makes Sound Remover a better tool?
Well, it's better for something. So noise reduction is really good at broadband static noise, noise that doesn't change. So background sounds, tape hiss, those kind of things. Whereas Sound Remover, so the idea behind source separation is a way of algorithmically defining separate sources of audio in a recording. It might be birds and a car and a siren, and all these things are different sources of sound. They're just all mixed together. They're all baked in that same cake. And what source separation does is effectively lets us kind of provide a model to the algorithm of a sound that we want to do something with. And it's able to separate that from the other sounds in the recording, and in this case, remove it. But eventually, possibly just separate, pull apart a recording so that you have somewhat better access to each of the instruments in a musical recording, for example. We haven't exposed anything like that, but that's all relatively possible with this technology.
That's amazing. I think it's absolutely amazing what you can do and the tricks you can do with audio, particularly when you bring it into the video element. Like, for instance, if you go out on location and you've got wind blowing everywhere, you can't hear what is being said, you just hop back in a studio, record that sentence. And I believe there's a feature in Premiere, isn't there, where you can sync that up to your original audio.
Absolutely, yeah. You can sync ADR or separate recordings together pretty easily in Premiere.
That's amazing. I created a piece of audio where I actually sync the voice of my wife saying exactly what I said to my video. It looked very scary.
Yeah. Audition has that same thing for retiming and voiceovers, the automatic speech alignment. So even if your wife wasn't able to get the timing of her phrase correctly, we'll stretch it so it matches your cadence and your lip sync, basically.
Talk to me a little bit about the generate tones and noise features. Now, these are features that you've brought back in, which I'm really happy you have, because they're amazing. And I guess what kind of people are using these? Maybe sound designers to create all kinds of funky sound effects and bits like that. So tell me a little bit more about where that's going in Audition. For instance, I still kind of miss, I know this is really retro, but the DTMF tones. the little, I think there was a little musical editor where you could paint notes on and make your audio kind of sing to those notes. Any plans to do anything along those lines in the future, maybe?
Well, neither one of those were really ever one of our most used effects, and we really haven't had a lot of requests for them in the past several years, at least since the rewrite. And while I can't officially make forward-looking statements. I'll say we've got some plans that should make this and all sorts of other of these sort of niche features possible and relatively simple.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. That's really interesting. I guess you have got to serve a very broad base of users. I mean, I'm interested, do you have some insights into what kind of people are using Audition, what kind of trades and industries they're in?
Sure. Well, our bread and butter has always been, since before the Adobe acquired Centrillium and it was still cool at it, was radio. And just about any radio station in North America, Europe, and South America, you're going to see Audition or Cool Edit running in those stations. We also see a lot of great voiceover users, forensics and research folks who are analyzing recordings made potentially elsewhere or capturing very high resolution recordings in Audition for processing. And we're seeing more and more folks coming from video. We have a lot of different folks we have to satisfy. So
that's really cool.
Never seems to be enough time in a development cycle to get something in there for everyone.
Absolutely. Actually, something that popped into my head, I'm sure it was a British police drama, and I think they were using Audition or something very similar to analyze audio. Is it used in forensics? So, you know, with your excellent noise reduction and sound removal tools, is it used on that kind of scale?
Oh, yeah. And you'll see it. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but this was kind of an infamous bit of glamour, but anytime Osama bin Laden would release a new tape, CNN would have their background graphics showing Audition spectral view in the background and talking about how they analyzed the tape. And it's always nice to see it on TV, although not necessarily in those kind of cases. But
associated with grim news stories. Yeah.
Right. No, my favorite was always you can catch a couple screenshots and glimpses in the intro to The Wire, the old HBO series The Wire. So I always... one of my favorite shows, and I always got to see my product there. So,
oh, that's so cool. So Audition does get quite a bit of screen time then.
Yeah, Ghost Hunter shows, they love our spectral view.
They would. Yeah, that's something I didn't even think about, ghost hunting shows, because you've got that beautiful spectral frequency display, which for someone who's not used that before, you may be familiar, obviously, with the audio waveform, but then you can go into this other view. And what exactly, obviously, you'd be the person to describe this, Durin, what exactly does spectral frequency do? It's a lovely kind of sort of rainbow going from bright yellow down to purple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually been nicknamed the heat map or the predator view by some of our users in the past. But really, I mean, it's just another way of visualizing an audio signal. So where the old waveform is showing amplitude over time, that spectral view allows us to show frequency over time and then using color and brightness, the energy at any particular frequency range. And so when working in that area, you're not just working with amplitude, you're working in specific frequencies. So we've been able to incorporate a lot of Photoshop style paint tools and selection tools to be able to get in there and really make micro selections and do some really fine editing in a way that you just really wouldn't have been able to working with just a waveform.
I love that. I think it's fantastic. We recently had a client that was complaining about a jingle they had produced, and they said that one of their listeners was hearing this jingle every time it went out and, you know, having a real problem with it because there was some kind of high-pitched whine. And, you know, obviously, I guess my hearing is completely shot because I didn't hear it at first, and then I listened, I thought, oh, there is something there. And then obviously you go straight into this spectral frequency display that shows you all the frequencies with a nice sort of heat map, like you say, and there, sure enough, it was like a red line going all the way along, you know, sort of around the, you know, the top end frequencies, and we could just use, like you say, a Photoshop tool and just scrub it out, and then the jingle was still intact, but we got rid of that horrible noise that was annoying, you know, listeners with sensitive hearing.
Exactly.
Very cool. And while we're on visuals, you did make some changes in the past years, in particular with the multi-track, making it all different colors, which is kind of a nice aesthetic thing. Any reason why you did that? You went from all green to sort of multicolors?
I'm glad you noticed. It's been my baby. building color into the UI was really, you know, the goal is to really assist with organization and identification, with especially when you get busy sessions with a lot of tracks, and it's been an ongoing goal of mine. whereas most of the Adobe applications are visual media editors, and their goal is to reduce that UI distraction so that the content you're working on really pops, Audition, sound is key. And so we have a little bit more license to use colors in ways that really help push workflows through and really make it a little more fun to use even. You know, in the past, you know, yeah, everything was that default green, which was great. We always had the ability to change clip colors or a couple versions back, you know, customize the track colors. But we found that people were still just using the default green and then complaining because I can't tell which is what is what. So I just asked the engineering team to, hey, why don't we just randomize new track colors and kind of force their hands and, unless they want to go change a preference. And nobody's changed the preference. We see a lot of people saying this is great. What a great change.
Yeah, I love it. You've got these multicolored sessions now. And I've always found it very handy for identifying, you know, what's going on, whether you've got a voice track or a music track, sound effects. You can, you know, color them different. And, of course, you've got a fantastic grouping feature in multitrack. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Grouping clips, if that's what you're referring to. Yeah, I mean, of course, you've got a lot of clips on your timeline. You've done all your edits. And now this chunk of audio is done. You might want to move it around as a group, but you don't want it to get out of sync, and you don't want to make changes. So yeah, just being able to quickly group a selection of clips and then have them behave as a group for moves, for fades, for any of those operations is pretty handy. And then a couple versions back, we expanded upon that and allowed you to, you know, in the past, if you wanted to make a change to a single clip, you had to ungroup everything, make your change, reselect them all, and group again, and it wasn't a fun workflow. So now you can kind of pull a single clip out or temporarily suspend a group, restore it, and it's a much quicker, much faster way of working with those kind of multi-selections and group clips.
That's brilliant. I love it because that's what you're doing behind the scenes all the time in between releases, is you're just finding out how can we make workflows faster, how can we make it easier to do things in an Audition, which is fantastic. So while we're on the UI and obviously the lovely layout, the multicolored multi-track, and now you're going kind of a smooth blue, but I'm also seeing kind of almost hints of like responsive buttons on the Adobe Audition layout. So kind of like it would look good on a tablet. And I do get asked occasionally, you know, oh, you know, what about Audition for a tablet? Because, of course, you have got audio editors that can do that on tablets now. So do you think it might be, and I know you can't make any promises, but it maybe be in the Adobe plans to make it a tablet version too?
Well, and that's a tough one. So, I mean, we have a lot of users who are already using Audition on, like, the Surface Pro 3. And I've tried it, and, you know, well, it works. I'm a critical eye, and I'm picking apart the experience all the time. But I think you're going to see a merging of kind of touch and desktop applications soon as more laptops and displays come touch-enabled. So this is going to require adaptive UIs and interfaces to accommodate the way that people want to work. If you're asking specifically if we're going to do an Audition on the iPad, there's no plans right now, never say never. You know, if we find a compelling enough reason to,
yeah. To look at what happened to Lightroom.
Exactly.
Well, that's really cool. So let's move it on a little bit to, I want to focus in a little bit on podcast-specific questions, because I know that a lot of listeners to this podcast in particular will be podcasters who either already use Adobe Audition, maybe they're stuck on CS6 or CS5.5 and saying, should I upgrade to the cloud version and all of that? And I know you're constantly making improvements, adding in new functionality that's great for podcasters, for instance, the metadata, sound cloud integration, bits like that. But I did have a few questions that I got from our podcasting group that I'm a member of. I asked if there are any questions, and I just wondered if you had some thoughts, particularly on this one that came up a couple of times, adjustable playback speed. So this is something where if you're a podcaster or maybe audiobook editor and you're going through a long set of speech, you know, rather than holding down the fast forward button or using the JKL keys to skip through, could there be a sort of times 1.25 or times 1.5 automatic playback? So you just hit play and off it goes and then stop. And so you're basically cutting your editing time in half almost.
I gotcha. Yep. This feature has been bubbling up through our backlog for a little while. And I can't say it's right at the top just yet, but I think the implementation work should be light enough that I might be able to sneak it in one of these cycles.
Oh, wow.
This isn't a promise, but...
But it's in there. It's in the notes. It's there to do.
Yeah, we have I maintain a pretty comprehensive feature backlog database, and we're trying to look at ways of making that a little bit more transparent for users and folks who want to either share their input on existing feature requests or add new ones or complain about something that's some way that an effect or a tool works right now. Nothing I can share yet, but we've got a couple. We're previewing a couple technologies, and we'll see if we can get that out pretty soon.
Very cool. Loudness tools. I'd like to drill a little bit deeper into this. But first of all, just bring us up to speed on what you've done, because this is quite a recent development. And I know you have broadcasters, and particularly TV quality audio, that needs to conform to a certain standard. I know that podcasters now are very much trying to push for, I think it's minus 16 LUFS as their sort of mobile or web standard of audio. So that, you know, you're not going from one podcast to another and having to turn your device up and down. So bring us up to speed with, because this is very new, I think, for a lot of people, but what has Audition in particular done with loudness?
Yeah, Audition implemented loudness support several years ago, but loudness really didn't register on most folks' radar until last year sometime. It was kind of funny, at NAB this year, everyone else was touting their new or their upcoming loudness tools or plugins, and Audition's quietly had them, you know, since 2012. I think that I recognize that loudness is now much more important and a front and center workflow for a lot of folks. And I think Audition needs to bring it more forward and really put all the tools in one place rather than what we kind of have now, which is where, well, the faster than real time measurement is in the amplitude statistics panel. And, you know, the correction is in the match volume panel, and real-time metering is in a standalone effect. So I think we need to bring all these together into one location or the location where it's always available and always on the mind of the editors who need that. Who need those tools.
Very cool. And I think it can be very daunting sometimes to look at it. I mean, I love the loudness radar that kind of visualizes the loudness of your audio. But I, you know, straight away when I got into it and had a look at that loudness radar, I was kind of treating loudness almost as normalization. I was like, so where's the button to make it minus 16 LUFS? Do you think any plans to make that a little bit easier, maybe, for the end user? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, of course, right now you can bring your finished audio into our match volume panel and either conform to the ITU, which is negative 23 LUFS, or customize that. But we need to expand the parameters, because more there's specific organizations have different requirements. So public radio might have a different requirement from a television station, and ITU in Europe is different from the US. So moving forward, exposing those parameters a little bit more, and then making them just more straightforward and easy to find and use is my goal.
That's brilliant. And just finally on loudness, my podcasting colleague Ray Ortega has asked specifically if you're planning anything to do with true peak limiting.
We do limit. We can limit true peak amplitude. That's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I had trouble with that one.
Yeah, in that match volume panel, there's an option for that. But a true peak limiter is coming up more and more as a request. And so while our ITU loudness correction does conform to the specifications for true peak limiting in that document, it is a fixed value. And so a more robust loudness workflow would definitely require more control over that setting and those limiting options, for sure.
Well, a great overview of past, present, and future features in Adobe Audition. Just before I get into the final couple of questions, is there anything, Duren, that you would like to share with the listeners to this podcast, perhaps that they didn't know about Adobe Audition, something maybe that you can tell us about a future release, anything at all that you can give us at the end of the podcast?
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. We talked about it a little bit. You'd be surprised where Audition has been in use for years and years, decades even, or a decade even. You know, you can, anytime you watch shows like Ellen Show or game shows, a lot of the game shows and soap operas that are produced in the U.S., auditions right there in the production booth or in the post-production booth being used for quickly recording voiceovers or walk-on music and introductions and sound effects. I love seeing it on television, but, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's just such a great audio production tool. I love it, and I always have loved it, and I love talking to people about it.
Finally, Duren, do you create any audio with Adobe Audition, and do you have anything that you would be maybe proud enough to share with us?
I'll tell you, we're going to be releasing, we're going to be starting an audition podcast with just me and a couple of the guys on the team talking in depth about some of the features or some of these little stories that that, you know, we don't really get to share that often. So I don't have anything for you to hear right now, but you'll be the first guy I let know when we're ready to put
those out. Wow, that is so cool. I had no idea that an Adobe Audition podcast is on the cast. That's awesome.
Well, you know, so one of the things that as we've been talking with folks is just there's just a lack of training information. And, you know, a lot of the official marketing stuff that Adobe releases is all, oh, here's this new feature, here's that new feature.
I love Adobe TV. I love Jason Levine.
Oh, he's great. He's a lot of fun. He's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
But we do find that there's a lack of just kind of some of the basics or even some of the old features that people aren't familiar with. And I know your videos on YouTube and your training courses has done a great job of exposing folks to those. And, but I think there's always room for, you know, if not a detailed workflow, well then a little bit of the anecdotes and the stories behind, some of those features or some of the ways that things got created or taken out or any of those. And there's lots of little good myth and lore and stories behind the audition team.
I look forward to it. I will try and be subscriber number one, or at least in the first 100 subscribers to that show. So that sounds awesome. And maybe you have the guys on that designed all the preset names as well. That'd be an interesting episode.
Yeah, we'll get Matt and Dan on there for we'll come up with some new presets when we're on the call. How's that sound?
That would be really good. So Duren, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'd love to know, first of all, where can people find out more about Adobe Audition, perhaps connect with you? And also, you mentioned you're always open to feedback and hearing from your users. So perhaps you could let us know specifically where people can go if they've got feature requests and bits like that.
Sure. Number one would be our forums. Our online forums are a great place to ask questions, request features, or just chat about audio. You can get there at forums.adobe.com and just look for Audition. I tend to moderate the Adobe Audition sub on reddit.com, which is not as active as the forums, but it's Reddit. So it's a certain type of type person who likes to chat fast and if you'd like to get in touch with me or the team directly, or I'd love to hear about projects folks are creating, requests that they have for new features or workflows, the easiest way is to send me an email to audbugs@adobe.com, and that'll come right to me and the rest of the team, and we get on those as quickly as we can.
Oh, wow. I'm going to make a note of that and make sure to mention that in the show notes as well. audbugs@adobe.com. And Duren, just you personally, specifically for attendees of our conference, New Media Europe, in September in Manchester in the UK, who will probably want to know how you're using social media and new media tools. What's your favorite social network? Where are you most active?
Well,
or do you not have time for that?
Well, it's tough. You know, I just this weekend, I finally started using my 2-year-old Instagram account. So it's not too exciting yet. Pictures of my pets in my new garden, but
nice.
We're working on it. You know, I'm openly addicted to Reddit. You can always find me on there. Otherwise, you know, we do, Adobe does have a pretty strong social presence on Twitter and Facebook. And you can certainly catch us there and find out about Audition and the rest of the Adobe applications.
Absolutely. And there's a Twitter and Facebook handle.
So, yeah, you can follow us at Adobe CC Video, which covers video and audio applications.
That's fantastic. Well, Duren, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much.
Special thanks to Duren Gleaves and, of course, Mike Russell for that awesome interview. I know I learned a lot, and you know, I'm an Adobe Audition user myself, but there's definitely things that I'm still learning every day. So again, thank you to both of you for doing that. Now, if you're like me after listening to that and want to jump in and do some work in Adobe Audition, well, you're probably going to need a bit of something to work with, and no better than getting some professional voiceover done. Head over to mrc.fm/promo. That's where you're going to get a special 15% off your next order. I would suggest if you want to do some playing around in Adobe Audition, just order some dry voices there. You can also order full production with music, sound effects, everything, if you want to leave it up to one of the amazing music radio creative producers. But why not try and start with some dry voice and then play with Adobe Audition? That's mrc.fm/promo, and you're going to get 15% off all the amazing professional voiceovers that are part of the music radio creative family. Next week on the podcast, we're going to have a special guest. His name is Caesar Abaid. He not only has one podcast, but two. He's also been a speaker at New Media Expo and Podcast Movement. And that's just the start of a long list of things he does. That's all next week on the audio production show from Music Radio Creative.
Listen.
Discover.
Share your ambitions.
Express your feelings.
Capture what matters.
Open the world of audio.
The world of audio.
Where everything is made to amaze.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.
Music
Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.